Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike, and today I'm joined with...
Hey, I'm Paul Pridecker. It's nice to join you again, Mike.
And it looks like Fareed managed to make it up here and is joining us.
At least address me by my name.
Oh, Afterburner Al.
That's right. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
You're giving away all the secrets. You know, I just want to say that it is an honor to be in the same room as with an airline pilot such as yourself. So... Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. But this isn't about us. So today we are joined by a couple of gentlemen. We have Raymond Richards, and you are with the Customs Air and Marine Ops for the U.S. Border Protection.
That's correct. Customs and Border Protection Air and Marine Operations Center.
Excellent. And we also have Corey Koch.
Gary.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Can't read the writing. And you are, what are you here to represent?
I'm here with Bird Strike USA, which is a flight safety organization that tries to make pilots aware of the importance of reporting of bird strikes, and our ultimate goal is to reduce the hazards of bird strikes against aircraft.
Excellent. So how many bird strikes do you usually get reported in an average day or week or year?
Well, since 1990, we've had over 12,000 when we started the collecting the data. And obviously, it's gone up year after year due to many factors. Obviously, we saw a direct increase with the U.S. Air 1549 because it became popular. But there are more aircraft in the air, and there are more birds in the air. Due to conservation efforts, we've seen the bird populations in North America skyrocket. And I think the Canada goose population is an example of that. Conservation efforts now have created an atmosphere where they can thrive, so which is good for the birds, but not so good for aviation.
And do you have some education programs or outreach to help educate the pilot group?
We do have outreach. I am a volunteer in Bird Strike USA, but I also work for NBAA, National Business Aviation Association. I am the chairman of their Bird Strike Working Group. And we work with pilots in NBAA to make them aware of the hazards that are out there and what they can do, because many pilots think there's really nothing you can do, but there's quite a lot you can do in pre-flight planning, in-flight, and post-flight. So we work together with different agencies, so it's very important to make people aware of what there are mitigation efforts that you can do out there. So,
well, why don't we start with the pre-flight? What are some things the pilot can do when pre-flighting to avoid bird strikes?
Well, pre-flight, understand when you are flying, understand that most birds, and it's not only birds but also land mammals, land mammals are nocturnal, so in the morning they'll be going to bed, and the birds will be getting up and starting to fly. So we see a majority of bird strikes 1 hour before and after sunset, and 1 hour before and after sunrise. They're going to work, and then they come home. So we see more birds in the air. Also understand that in the month between August and November, there are twice as many birds in North America flying, because the birds that were born in the spring have now taken flight, and they're migrating and moving around. So just understand the flight pattern, migration patterns, behavior of birds. There is a website, Bird Avoidance Model, that's available online that you can take a look, and it has a graphical depiction in Google Earth that you can see where the birds are. And it's not necessarily to keep you from flying, but just be aware that it's there. So, and then when you go in flight, just listen up for bird strike reports or wildlife strike. If somebody reports it, kind of our mantra is, if you see something, say something. If you see birds or if you see deer near the airport, say something to somebody if it's controlled. If it's uncontrolled, maybe you want to delay your takeoff or talk to the airport manager to say, hey, look, we have this problem out there. And then also on final, listen up. On the ATIS, sometimes birds in the vicinity of the airport, sometimes that means something and sometimes it doesn't. So it never hurts to ask the air traffic control, hey, you're advertising birds on the ATIS. Is there any threat out there? And I'm sorry to say, half the time they'll say, no, we just do that. But
for the aircraft that I fly, at least the company I work for, they have guidance based on the size of bird that we might have hit, whether it is a maintenance issue or not. But from your perspective, all birds are important. So
correct.
we do, at what level is a bird strike required to be reported? And then what is that, what happens with this information?
Yes, we don't require, but we encourage, the FAA encourages bird strike report, all bird and wildlife strikes, because we have a database. And that database is used to mitigate future strikes. They take all, and then with that strike, we identify what type of bird or animal it was. And that is done by the Smithsonian Institution, who will help. The strike data goes in there. Hopefully we know how high the airplane was flying, how fast, what time of day, and then we identify what type of wildlife was struck. Then we can mitigate, we can form a wildlife hazard mitigation plan for that airport. So it's risk management. Identify the hazard, mitigate the risk.
Really quickly, do you have a website that people can go to find this information?
If you just Google bird strikes or AHAS, AHAS.com, I believe it is, just birds, it's the bird avoidance model. It was a product that was developed for the Air Force, but it's available to all public. So
that's great information. We appreciate you coming and sharing that with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, no problem.
And Raymond, what do you do for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection?
And what kind of birds do you see?
And how many have you hit?
I want to know more about that boat that's sitting outside the Federal Pavilion.
No kidding. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting, actually, in terms of radar. We do see a lot of birds, mm-hmm. and sometimes they can look like aircraft, depending on whether or not they're mm-hmm. up in the jet stream. So it's funny you said that about birds. Yeah, we see them. Specifically, Customs and Border Protection, I work for the Office of Air and Marine, and even more specifically, the Air and Marine Operations Center. My job or my background is air traffic control. So that was to answer your first question. What was the second question? I apologize.
How many birds have you hit? No.
How many birds? None. I'm not a pilot. I'm amongst kings.
Yeah. Are you responsible for the entire borders of the U.S. or
that's
just certain
correct.
Regions?
Yeah. Okay. At the Air Marine Operations Center, we're monitoring all radars in the United States, looking for things coming across the border that don't belong.
At the Federal Pavilion, what can visitors to your booth see?
Well, we've got a bunch of posters. They're really cool. You're going to see an EC-120 if you're looking inside the actual pavilion. Mm-hmm. If you're outside the pavilion, you're going to see what's called an interceptor. It's a 42-foot boat, and it's got about 4 outboards on the back, engines, I should specify, and about 1,200 horsepower. Quite a fast boat. And then in addition to that, we've also got the King Air that sits out there.
Is that the blue one? It was no.
It's gray and blue.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one.
So, quick question. You mentioned that you monitor all the radar for traffic coming in that's not supposed to be coming in, and there's this big push to move everything towards ADS-B. Are they still going to be keeping the radar along the border specifically for your mission?
And the truth is I can't answer that with 100% certainty, but I can tell you that we're in a collaborative effort with the Department of Defense at monitoring our borders. They have an air sovereignty mission. We have an air security mission. And what we're looking at is I believe they own the long-range radars. We're still looking, and we have the aerostats that look for things down low. It's a blimp with a radar underneath it.
Are there career opportunities with your agency?
There's a lot of career opportunities right now.
Find out about that?
You can go to USA Jobs. That's a great website, and you can look at some of the things, and you can apply online.
There's you brought up the aerostat. Is the one by north of Baltimore also tied into your net?
North of Baltimore,
that coming in on the Clipper one. There's an aerostat.
You fly more than I do.
we see an aerostat just north of Baltimore that is up most day. Most days it's up at 10,000 feet.
It may be looking at the special flight restricted area.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know for sure. And no, I'm not monitoring that.
Okay,
one. Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's a great question.
Yeah, they are up there, and those people who may not have seen that they. It's a cable that goes up 10,000 feet, mm-hmm. and it's looking around. So,
yeah. We used to see one down in the Key West area.
Mm. Yep. Okay. Cujo Key.
It's still there.
Yeah. Sure do.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of really neat technology that you guys are also getting and pushing and advancing that stuff.
Yes.
And what other neat technologies do you use in your missions?
We use mobile radar sites as well to fill in the gaps for those places that we don't have very good coverage in radar along the border. That's one option that we have available to us. We also have platforms that fly. So you've got the Predator that's out there as well. And it has radar capabilities and sensor technologies on board that people are monitoring, looking for things of interest along the border coming into our country.
So you also are hiring people to fly those drones for the U.S. Customs.
That's correct. If you like remote control aircraft, that's the one for you. All right.
It's biggest, nicest remote I've seen. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, unfortunately, we're running just a little bit short on time, so we have to be going. But we do want to thank Raymond Richards from the Customs and Border Protection.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yep, and Gary Cook from the Bird Strike Steering Committee, or Bird Strike Organization.
Bird Strike USA.
I'm going to get that right one of these. I should just read your shirt.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. And you're listening to EAA Radio.